World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Hey, pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Yep, well, 38 years ago today. That's why I had little Reese, my granddaughter, come in here and join us after a great Thanksgiving meal last night. We had so much food. We had our new house packed with people. That everywhere you looked, there were big people, there were little people, there were fat people, there were skinny people, there were red-haired people, there were white-haired people, everywhere. We had a great Thanksgiving at our house last night, and Reese spent the night with us, and she loves coming down there and being on the show. So God bless y'all. And 38 years ago today, what happened 38 years ago today, Reese?
You got married.
I married that little brunette upstairs, huh? Was up there cleaning up the house this morning.
She's a peach.
And remember I told y'all yesterday about the performance that she was going to put on and how, well, she was uptight yesterday afternoon. One of those, get close to divorce sometimes, you know? But I kept telling myself, she's exercising her gift. Give her some grace here. I gave her some grace and she put on quite a show last night and she's up pitter pattern already upstairs up there above my multi-million dollar studio here. She's cleaning up, putting food away. Crowd's grown. We're up to 20, Reese. We're up to 20 that are growing here. Say hi to everybody here.
Hi.
I give Reese to brag on you a little bit. She did a performance last night of knowing all the presidents. She can give you the names of all the presidents, but we're not going to do it to her. Reese is homeschooled, and she reads on about a college level, and she doesn't know anything about transgenderism or all that other stuff. She's still as pure as she was the day we got her, and she came to us. We didn't get her. We didn't go by her store, but we're sure proud of Reese. We're going to train Reese in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. And what's going to happen, yeah, Dale, homeschool rocks. What's going to happen is Reese Michelle is going to take the values.
Want to turn it up?
The values that were given to me, and they're going to pass those values into her, and her values are going to be passed into our progeny. Probably maybe those little children that I'll never, ever, ever meet. And I told Reese last night when we went to bed, the only reason she's here is because Gigi and I got married. If Gigi and I hadn't got married, this thing wouldn't be here. Or her other mom, grandma, and grandpa. Right?
7-6. I got to be there at 7.
Daddy wouldn't be. Don't ever forget this, folks. You are passing not only your DNA, but your heritage right through your bloodstream, right down into these. And I just want to say this. I know Dale will amen me, and I know others out there will amen me. As God is my witness, as much as I can ever do, this girl will never spend one minute in the public school. Never 1 minute. And it's interesting because we had a bunch of kids last night at the party. I didn't even say this to Michelle. I think she's probably up there listening. I'll share it with you later, honey. And I could tell when the children are downstairs playing, I could tell those who had been in public schools and those who hadn't by their behavior. It was dark. I could point to that one has. I could see it. So if we think that we're going to be able to take these precious little skulls full of mush, as Rush would say, and put them into a public school and have them maintain my values, ain't going to happen. So I'm going to fight with every breath in my body to make sure that this little girl doesn't get poisoned by the vain philosophies of men. Cool. All right. So listen, yesterday we gathered around. We're like everybody else. We joined hands. No, I haven't forgotten about the Holy Spirit. Hang on. I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit as the Lord moves. Hang on here. So we were gathering hands. You know, 30 of us, 30 some of us, gathering around there. And we didn't do it last night, but we usually say Tell us what you're thankful for. And it's always interesting to hear what people say what they're thankful for. But as we were standing there holding hands and praying, I thought of this. America, this is the question of the day. Not what are you thankful for, but who are you thankful to? Have you thought about that? How can you be thankful for something that you don't know where it came from? Who do you thank? So in all the Thanksgiving mirage and all the turkeys and all of the parades, Macy's Day Parade and all that stuff, people talking about Thanksgiving, be thankful, let's give thanks, give thanks. To who? That is our heritage, see? And I want to give you a little primer today. I understand I run the risk of boring some of you, but bear with me. It'll be okay. On January 25th, I will have done this show 3 solid years coming up. January 25th will be my third year, I think. Yeah, third year doing this show. That's 5 days a week. 2 years, Jared? I'm sorry, 2 years. I think it, whatever. 5 days a week. That's 250 shows a year times 2. That's 500 shows. And I know from my emails and from Facebook and everything, we're getting people every day. We're gathering people. But you know what? One of the amazing things was last night. I brought some of our family down here, my new house. I want them to come down and see my multi-million-dollar studio, and they bring them down here. You know that my family, I'm not talking about my brother. My brother didn't know. They have no importance. My family doesn't even know I have a show. They don't even know I have a show. So, I mean, they were in amazement that we have a show. So, Jerusalem, Judea, the othermost parts of the earth, they probably think I'm a little bit nuts anyway. I'm the religious guy, as they say. But I've been pondering all day in America how we can be thankful and not say who we're thankful to. I want to take you a little bit of a journey. Isaiah 33:22. Let's go there real quick. Is the silver man with us today? We got 20 folks in there. We got room. You know, if you guys get up today, man, you guys are hardcore. If you get it, yeah, he's there with us. He's here with Joe's there. Isaiah 33:22. I'm going to take you. I'm going to give you a little history lesson today. Maybe before we get into the Holy Spirit. Are you going to leave me? Say goodbye. You going to stay? Okay. Do we have it up there, Jared? Guys, listen. Okay, this is our government right here. This is our government. Our nation was founded upon biblical principles. Did you guys see Donald Trump yesterday? Donald Trump got all of the lefties, all of the God haters, all of the humanists. He got them all in a tizzy yesterday because in his address to the nation, his Thanksgiving address to the nation, he mentioned God 3 times. Or 8 times. 8 times he mentioned God. And can I tell you something else? He called it Almighty God. Almighty God. They are in such a tizzy today. How dare he? First of all, Christians are in a tizzy. What I call them, those stuffed shirt Christians, they're in a tizzy because they're mad because they don't think he's Christian. How dare he? How dare he? But see, God's universal. It has become universal. We know there's many gods out there. I have no other gods before me. But Donald Trump, he didn't write it himself. Somebody wrote it for him. He said, Almighty God. I'm going to show you that here in a second. But verse 22, this is the foundation, folks, of our government. What are the 3 branches of our government? You know what the 3 branches of government are? We got to get you straightened out on that one, don't we? Legislative, right? Senate, House make laws. The executive, which is the head of the government. And the judiciary, which is one who interprets the laws. So right here it is in Isaiah 33:22. Joe, it's short. Get that voice ready. Just read this, Joe. This is the foundation of our government. That's it.
Okay.
You see it, Joe? There you go, Joe.
I can see it. So the Lord is our judge.
There it is.
The Lord is our lawgiver. The Lord is our King. He will save us.
Okay, so there you have the 3 branches of government. Judicial, judge, lawgiver, legislative, king, the president. Now, the president's not a king, although we sure like to treat him like he is. But right there is the very foundations of the American government. So when we get around and we gather and we say, see, we've lost sight. Here's where I'm heading this morning. I think it's important that we lay this out. For those of you who I said, we've been doing this, 500 shows. Some of you tuning in late. Some of you didn't catch some of the foundational shows that we did earlier. I think it's important that I crack this bean open for you. I'm trying to get my computer to work. There comes Reese. Reese, I may have to get you on the other side because I can't see you through. See, hang on. Go around behind me. Those are all the wires. Go around behind me. He's walking around the stadium there. Yeah, come in there and stand. That'll be better. Okay, let me, some cool stuff. Jared, first of all, pull up the very first thing. Trump's proclamation, okay? Hey, guys, we're going to get into it. Hang on here. Bear with me here. Trump's proclamation yesterday, Jared. This is on LifeSite News. And here's Donald Trump. And we're not going to play the whole thing because I'm not going to take the time to say it. But look at this. Donald Trump mentions God 8 times in the Thanksgiving address. Did you guys know this? I don't know. That's why you tune in here. Did you know that Barack Obama, in his 8 years of president of the United States, never mentioned God in the Thanksgiving address to the nation? Never mentioned it one time. And Trump goes so far as to call it Almighty God. Now, whether he believes it or not, what emanates from the highest office in the land is pretty significant. So we're not going to play it, but there it is. 8 times in his address, he mentioned God. Now, guys, which God? See, therein lies the debate and the mess that we're in. I'm sitting around last night with 30 of us having our Thanksgiving celebration. And I know all of them know the Christian God. I don't know if they all believe in the Christian God. They all have some sense of Christian heritage and Christian training. But see, Michael Savage told us that a nation is defined by its borders, its language, and its culture. And the culture is Christ-based, Christian-based. We have been sold the biggest bunch of malarkey, the lie of the separation between the church and state. I'm going to jump into some of that here this morning. Let me open it up. Say if anybody's got anything they wanted to share before I get rolling on this, or even regarding this or regarding anything else. Anybody?
Hey,
Vince, we could do this. Tell us what you're thankful for today. That's what most Christian radio is doing today. Go ahead, Vince.
That's great. That's great. Love it, Coach. I just want to say, isn't it great we're going to have a Christmas tree back in the White House?
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
And Vince, we were so trapped up in that, whatever that was, bye. Thanks, Reese. We were so trapped up in that mess that we could not even see. The Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. We were so wrapped up and blinded, we could not see how anti-Christ Barack Obama was. Did you hear what I said? Did you hear what I called it? Antichrist. I didn't say he was the Antichrist. I said he was Antichrist. Against Christ. Against Christ. Because we all know this, even though right-wing watch and all those will say whatever they're going to say, Barack Obama was a Muslim. Or at the least, a Muslim sympathizer. We had a Muslim sympathizer in the White House of a Christian nation. So, oh, there you go, Coach. This isn't a Christian nation. Well, if you talk about organic, if you talk about where the nation came from, hey, dudes, you're wrong. Jared, pull up there for me the Mayflower Compact. Joe, get that voice ready. Get that voice ready. Now, you guys know what happened on the Mayflower, right? 1492, Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Well, Columbus discovered America. And then America from 1492 was this foreign land that people were coming and gone, and the Indians were here. But when the pilgrims landed, when 1619 was it? I can't remember when the Mayflower landed. 1620, when the Mayflower landed, these were the Puritans who came across, and before they got off of the boat under the leadership of William Bradford, this is organic law, this is history, and whose job was it to preserve history, our Christian history? Why the church? Church doesn't know it. Church doesn't know any of this. See, the church. The church. Let the government tell us that there's a separation between the church. The church let the government do that. And that became the separation between the church and state, became the separation of morality. It became do whatever the heck you want to do. It became men marry men. It became kill babies. It became transgenders. It became. Why? Well, because we've lost our moorings. So, Joe, here it was. This was signed. You can see this is the Mayflower Compact. Look, you can see the picture on the right here. They're signing it. Who signed it? Well, the guys who are all listed below. Miles Standish. You've heard that. William Bradford. Before they got off the boat, they said, listen, we're going to have some kind of government here. We're going to have some kind of government. And they said, okay, dudes, here it is then. Here is our charter by which we are going to live. Joe, I want you to watch. Right in the very first paragraph, it gives us the basis. Go ahead, Joe. The text of the Mayflower Compact is very, very short and sweet.
In the name of God, amen.
Stop. All right, there's a foundation being laid. Foundation being laid in the name of God. Go ahead.
We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord, King James, by the grace of God, of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, defender of the faith, etc.
So they give loyalty to the king, even though they're leaving. They give loyalty to the king. Go ahead. And why did they come here? Here we are, fellas.
Having undertaken for the glory of God and advancement of the Christian faith.
Joe, why did they come here? Joe, why did they come here? Somebody out there help me. The first governmental compact signed in the New World, 1620. Why did they come here? Somebody help me.
To advance
the glory of God.
And?
The advancement of the Christian faith.
Humanism? Were these non-religious peoples? Of course not. So the organic law of America was the advancement of the Christian faith. Keep going.
And honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually in the presence of God and one of another, covenant and combined ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends of aforesaid.
The ends aforesaid, what? For the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Go ahead.
And by virtue hereof, to enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and offices from time to time, as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise to do submission and obedience. In witness thereof, we have hereunder subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, New Style, November 21st, in the year of the reign of our sovereign Lord, King James of England, France, and Ireland, the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th, Anno Domini 1620.
There it is. So, guys, there's the first governmental document signed, and it was what? The Mayflower Compact, and it was for the advancement of the Christian faith, the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Okay? So the organic law, okay, well, here's a couple things. Guys, I'm sorry if this is boring, but I'm telling you, 90% of Christians don't know what we're talking about. They don't know it. They do not know it. Our pastors don't know it. Our churchgoers don't know it. You run up to the average Christian and talk to them about the separation between the church and state, and they don't understand. Okay, so I'm one of these guys. I like to delve into words. Words have meaning. That's why we write them down on paper. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And we understand there's a difference between the Word of God, but words have life and power and significance and meaning. And the only reason you write things down is because the words tell you the history. The words do. And we've been, what's they call that? Boondoggled. We've been swindled. We've been lied to. Mainly because the God-hating, atheistic, whatever you want to call them, got involved. Anybody want to say any of that? I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. Anybody got, want to add anything?
Oh, absolutely, Coach. Let me take one step further, especially dealing with the homeschool thing that you opened up with this morning. When the Puritans coming from Holland, the reason they went to Holland is because England, the bubonic plague, they weren't allowed to worship God freely, so they went there. When they were there, they said, look, you can worship God however you want. We won't hinder you, but you got to send your children to our schools. The Puritans said, that ain't going to happen. And so, therefore, they left there, and they came here.
Is that something, huh? They weren't going to let the government indoctrinate their children. Unbelievable, huh? So, the First Amendment, Jared, pull that one up there. Because I think there's some things in there that we have to understand. Words mean things. Words mean things. Okay? On your screen right now. This is Legal Information Institute. Now look, let's look what it says. It says the First Amendment guarantees freedoms concerning religion, expression, assembly, and the right to petition. It forbids Congress from both promoting one religion over others, lie, and also restricting an individual's religious practice. It guarantees freedom of expression by prohibiting Congress restricting the press or the rights of the individuals to speak freely. It also guarantees the right of the citizens to assemble peaceably and to petition the government. Now, we just read the Mayflower Compact. You got to be careful with those lawyers, Roger. You got to be careful with those guys. Organic law. Somebody help me out here. What was the first legal document signed in the good old U.S. of A, and it wasn't the good old U.S. of A? What was the first legal document?
Mayflower Compact.
The Mayflower Compact. And what did the Mayflower Compact state? It was for what? The glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Now, hang on with me a second. So then who created the government? Was the government here to restrict the rights of the people? Is that what we see happening in Mayflower in 1620? Or before they stepped off, did they say, listen, we can't be multicultural here. We have to have some system of government here. Okay, boys and girls, let's get around here. Here it is. Here it is. We're here to glorify God and to advance the Christian faith. Anybody agree, disagree with that? No? Okay, sign on the dotted line. And they all signed on the dotted line. Boys, then they created government. Well, government wasn't here. That's why they signed the compact. It wasn't here. The government, the thing that made America so unique, is that government emanated from the people. It came from the people. Now, where did the people get the right to establish government? Duh. From God. So then once government gets established and we move 200 years into the future, what do we find out? We find the government created by the people through Almighty God. We find the baby, the government, birthed by the people through God. We find the children throwing off the shackles of religion and the lie of the separation between the church and state. Stay with me. I'm trying to make a point to you. I'm trying to show you how we got so screwed up. I'm trying to show you. So let's go right now to the First Amendment. See, you guys see how they lied to us? You see up here it says it forbids Congress from both promoting one religion over another. Hey, dudes, words have meaning. Words have meaning. What is a religion? Somebody help me. Somebody help me.
It's man-made worship.
Yeah, man-made worship. So the children, birthed by the Father, the children created a government and said, we're going to glorify the Christian faith. See, they're not glorifying separation of church and state. They're not glorifying any of that. They say God's the head, and here's what's going to happen. We're going to create a government based on the foundational principles of God as the head of the government. And then when we get this government established, oh, stay with me here, okay? Scroll down, Jared, Amendment 1. Hope I'm not boring you today. Not boring me. We'll teach this to my children, who will teach it to their children, who will teach it to their children. That's how you promulgate a culture and a society. All religions in America are not equal. Somebody say amen. I'm going to wait. I want to hear it. I want to hear it.
Amen, brother.
Amen, amen.
All religions in America are not equal. Why are they not equal? Come on now. You got to be able to teach this to your friends. Why are all religions not equal in America?
Because all gods.
There's only one God.
There's only one God, and he is the Christian God, and everything else is a false God. So therefore, they don't have equal standing with Jehovah, okay? Stay with me. So the First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. Time out. Religion defined, I don't have time, I got it over here, I'll get to it later. Religion is defined as the duties and responsibilities that you owe to God. That is religion. And so examples of religion, remember, why did they establish America? For the advancement of secularism, for the advancement of liberty, for the advancement of freedom. Why did they establish government? Organic law. Why did they establish government? Somebody help me. Listen, this is for the slow learners, okay? Come on, got to repeat it. Why did they establish, why when they signed the Mayflower Compact, why did they sign it?
For the advancement of God.
And the Christian of Christianity. Faith.
The Christian faith. The advancement of the Christian faith. Hey, boys and girls, can I tell you something? They already established the religion. It's already established. The Christian faith was established in 1620 as the organic law of America. Are you guys following this?
Yep. John Adams says our Constitution is for a Christian moral people and none other.
Totally inadequate for the governments of any other. I'm going to get into some of that stuff. Bear with me here. I'm trying to build your faith today, okay? So they write down, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of a religion. Time out here. You think these guys didn't know what a religion was? Huh? Do you think they didn't know what religion was?
They were struggling with that word, putting religion in there, because what they were really talking about was the Catholic dogma that was going on in England and the suppression.
There you go, brother. And so they said, listen, religion, are you sitting down? When the 13 original colonies were established, I don't have it up on the screen. I could throw it up on the screen. Google it. Do you know that the 13 original colonies were set up by denomination? You know, Rhode Island was Baptist. Did you know that New York was Dutch Reformed, I think? Did you know that Pennsylvania was Quaker? Did you know that Massachusetts was Church of England? Did you know that? Look at this, what Jared's pulling up there for. Look at this. You didn't know this, see? They've lied to us. We didn't know this. And so that every one of these colonies, there it is, Jared, the religion of the 13 colonies. Hey, guys, say this. Say, boy, Coach, am I glad I tuned in today. I had no idea, Coach. I had no idea. Well, look at this. Virginia, Anglican. Well, Massachusetts, separatist. Or the established church. Established church. Church of England. Massachusetts, congregational. New Hampshire, congregational. New York, Church of England. Maryland, Church of England. Connecticut, congregational. Rhode Island, no established religion, but it became the Baptist under Roger Williams. New Jersey, none. Delaware, none. North Carolina, the Church of England. South Carolina, the Church of England. Pennsylvania, none. Georgia, the Church of England. And later on, Pennsylvania becomes Quaker. Maryland was the first place where Catholicism was permitted. This is all history, see? So boys and girls, the states were set up by denominations. The states were set up by denominations. Why? Because when they told us that there was a separation between the church and the state, it's because religion was a state matter, not a federal matter. And so the lie of the separation between the church and state is when the Danbury Baptist wrote to Thomas Jefferson and said, hey, you ain't going to make us all be Anglican here. Are you going to establish the Anglican church as our official religion? Not Christianity. They're all Christians. Are you going to make us be Anglicans? Are you going to make us be all? And Thomas Jefferson responds, no, heck no. No, he said there's a separation between the church and the state. Not feds. Separation between the church and the state, meaning what? That the state will never hoard power over the church.
And he wrote that from France. He wasn't even in America when he wrote it.
And he was a politician running for president of the United States, and they were afraid he was taking a political position. Are you guys following me here? Are you following me? Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of a Christian denomination. That's the way it would have been written. Now, why didn't they write it that way? Duh, because they all were Christians and they all knew. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment of Buddhism or Hinduism. No. Back to the Mayflower Compact, organic law. Hey, Vinny, why did they come here? Help me again. Organic law for the advancement of the Christian faith.
And they actually believed when they came here that they were completing Mark chapter 16 and going into the whole world and preaching the gospel.
Amen. Amen. So what happened to us? What happened? Well, Roger, the lawyers got involved. Lawyers got involved. That's what happened. And they began to parse words. Separation between the church and state. Look, Jared, let's go back to that First Amendment. Let's go back there. I want you to, we were into some more. Congress, why would they say Congress? How come they didn't say judges shall make no law? How come they didn't say the government shall make no law? How come they said Congress shall make no law? Very important you get this.
Congress is the only lawgiver, right?
Congress is, we just saw that in Isaiah 33:22. A Congress is the lawgiver. Only Congress can make laws. And what did they say to Congress? Can't make any laws, dude. You can't make any laws respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Hey, guys, why was there no establishment of religion from the federal government? Why was there no establishment of religion from the federal government? Come on, somebody tell me you're following this. States were handling the matter of religion. Oh, my God. Every one of the constitutions of all 50 states mention Almighty God. Our rights, my God, acknowledge our rights from Almighty God. Every one of them. But along comes Hugo Black in 1947. And they're concerned about the advancement of Catholicism. Let's call it what they were concerned about. They're worried about the advancement of Catholicism. And Hugo Black went back into history. He was on the Supreme Court Justice. He went back into history, studied history, and found this letter that Thomas Jefferson, private letter, Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist, where Thomas Jefferson said there's a separation between the church, unpenetrable wall of separation between the church and the state. By the way, the church above the state, the church above the state. Who created government? The people, Mayflower Compact, they created the government. Yeah, Mark.
No, this is Kevin.
Kevin?
I just happen to have the State of Maine preamble right in front of me.
What's it say, Sarge?
It says, we the people of Maine, in order to establish justice, ensure tranquility, provide for our mutual defense, promote our common welfare, and secure to ourselves and our posterity the blessings of liberty, acknowledging with grateful hearts the goodness of the sovereign ruler of the universe in affording us an opportunity so favorable to the design, and imploring God's aid and direction in its accomplishment, do agree to form ourselves into a free and independent state by the style and title of the State of Maine, and do ordain and establish the following constitution for the government of the same.
Is that, hey Sarge, are you telling me they established it? It's already established. Huh? And so if the state's already established it, why can't Congress establish it? Because it'd be already established. Ninth Amendment, 10th Amendment, it's already established. And it was very, very simple. You don't want to live in Ohio? You don't like the established religion in Ohio? Move to West Virginia. You just got to pull some of your teeth, get rid of all your teeth, and you move to West Virginia. Just kidding, just kidding. It's like somebody said to me, one of my favorite jokes, let's throw a little levity in here. I asked somebody if you, we make West Virginia jokes around here. This will end up on Right Wing Watch, probably. We make West Virginia jokes here in Ohio. People down there in Appalachia. We say, hey, listen, if you get a divorce, you're still brother and sister. I think it's pretty good. Right? I think it's pretty good. That's the way we pick on West Virginians around here.
Love
because
it.
Why? It was established cultures, right? Established culture. So Hugo Black comes in and says, listen, there's a separation between the church and state. And what he did in 1947 is he rewrote the First Amendment to the Constitution. He rewrote it. Basically, it says now Congress, first of all, doesn't even say Congress. Establishment, we already know it's established, right? But guys, it is interlocked with the free exercise clause. Hey, fellas, if somebody can tell you when, where, and how you can exercise your faith, do you have free exercise? Do I have exercise of my faith if they tell me I can't pray before a football game? Is that free exercise of my faith? Well, of course, that's not free exercise. Anytime anybody can limit it or abridge it, a well-regulated militia being necessary for the security of the free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Congress cannot infringe upon states' rights, unalienable rights, God-granted rights. The people created the government under God, and we've allowed the government to throw out God and tyrannically rule the people. You with me? Somebody tell me you're getting it. Say, Coach, I'm getting it.
Got it.
Okay, got it. Cool.
Good.
More history than I've learned in high school.
Yeah, get your homeschoolers out and set them down in front of this. That's for sure. Okay. Okay. So let's go. Let's look at two words here. Okay. We already talked about it. Establishment. Congress shall make no law regarding the establishment. What does establish mean? Jared's right on top of it. The word, it's in the Constitution. Establish means to cause to endure, to fix deeply, to fix permanently, to implant firmly, ingrain, make durable, make firm. An establishment, if you were established, it required allegiance to it. And in the colonies, you had to pay a tithe to the state because the church was the state. Mandatory membership, that's an establishment, right? And so the Fed's saying Congress can make no law regarding the establishment of a religion. Boys, please tell me you get this. Why can't they make a law regarding the establishment of a religion? Somebody, please give me the correct answer.
Because it's the power of the state.
The states have already established it. See, that's not what Hugo Black said. Hugo Black didn't want the Catholics getting any money for Catholic schools, so he said, we got to do something about this, man. Hugo Black was basically saying, understand this, he was basically saying that Catholicism wasn't Christian. That's what he was saying. We can argue that all we want to. Hugo Black didn't want money. He didn't want money going to advance Catholicism. Okay? So there's what it is to establish. We could go down and read all of these things that Jared has up there. But the important thing to remember is this. Congress can't establish religion because the states already have. And what's that religion? Somebody help me. What's that religion?
Christianity.
And where did that idea come from?
Organic law.
Organic law. Isaiah 33:22. And the guys got off of the Mayflower Compact. They said, before we get off, here's what we're going to all believe and here's what we're all going to follow. All right. We're going to establish Christianity, advancement of the Christian faith, and we're going to have our king and our lawgiver and our legislator. Is this making sense to us or not?
And Trinity versus United States. What did the Supreme Court declare? That United States was a Christian nation based on 83 precedences.
Stare decisis, they tell us, Dale. They tell us stare decisis. Previously decided, can't overturn it, right? Can't overturn it. But they've done it here. We have people in America on Thanksgiving who don't know who they're thankful to. They don't know who they're thankful. We have a holiday in America called Thanksgiving, and the kids in our schools aren't even allowed to be told to be thankful to God. Not to be thankful to your mom and dad and your grandma and grandpa. Yeah, you're to be thankful to them. But the idea of Thanksgiving was to be thankful to Almighty God. That was the idea. We're not taught that anymore. And it's a day off. We get a day off. And if there's a separation between the church and state, can somebody tell me why Christmas is a federal holiday? Why are they getting paid holidays? If there's a separation between the church and state. Duh! Was so stupid. Hang in there with me. I'm doing okay. I think I'm doing. Hey, Jared. What did the founders think? What did the founders think? The guys who established it, what did they think? This is written by Bill Federer. I'm not dropping names. Bill's a good friend of mine. I'd get him on the show. He'd probably get up and join us. Founders had a wholly different idea of religious freedom. Let's read some of these things. Hey, Joe, let's hear your pipes. Read this. This is just a series of quotes that Bill Federer put together about the separation between the church and state. Go ahead and just start reading that, Joe.
Joe may be tied up at the hospital, so go ahead.
Oh, okay. Each year on January 16th, scroll down a little bit, Jared. I want to get some of these quotes. Okay, here we go. The Virginia Statute for Religious Freedom was passed by Virginia's Assembly in 1786. It was drafted by Thomas Jefferson, who, by the way, came up with the separation between church and state, right? It was drafted by Thomas Jefferson and commemorated on his tombstone. Did Jefferson intend to limit the public religious expression of students, teachers, coaches, chaplains? Well, Jefferson wrote in his original 1777 draft, Almighty God hath created the mind free, and, whoa, Almighty God hath created the mind free, and all attempts to influence it by temporal punishments tend only to beget habits of hypocrisy and meanness, and are a departure from the plan of the holy author of religion, who being Lord both of body and mind, yet chose not to propagate it by coercion on either, as was in his almighty power to do, but to extend it by its influences on reason alone. Jefferson said, in matters of religion, I've considered that its free exercise is placed by the Constitution independent of the powers of general government. I have therefore undertaken on occasion to prescribe the religious exercise suited to it, but have left them, as the Constitution found them, under the direction and discipline of state and church authorities by several religious societies. Jefferson explained in 1808, I consider the government of the United States as interdicted, prohibited by the Constitution from intermeddling religion with institutions, their doctrines, disciplines of exercise. This results not only from the provision that no law shall be made respecting the establishment or free exercises of religion, but from that also which reserves to the states the powers not delegated to the United States. He said, certainly no power to prescribe any religious exercise or assume authority in religious discipline has been delegated to the general government. I do not believe it is for the interest of religion to invite the civil magistrate to direct its exercises, its discipline, or its doctrines. Every religious society has a right to determine for itself the times for these exercises and the objects proper for them according to their own particular tenets. Okay, so there he is. He says it's up to the state. Federal government has nothing to do with it. Scroll on down. Okay, now look here. This is important. The Virginia Declaration of Rights states, hey guys, did you know this? That in all the history of jurisprudence, Roger, I ought to make you pay me for this law school lesson. In all the history of jurisprudence, and all the religious cases that have gone to the U.S. Supreme Court, did you know that the Supreme Court has never once ruled or defined what religion is? Because once they define religion, all of those cards come crumbling down. But Jefferson says in the Virginia Declaration of Rights, here's what he said, religion or the duty we owe to our Creator and the manner of discharging it can be directed only by reason and conviction and not by force or violence. And therefore, that all men are equally entitled to free exercise of religion according to the dictates of the conscience, and that is the mutual duty of all to practice Christian forbearance, love, and charity towards one another. James Madison said, do you understand that? Religion or the duty we owe to our Creator in the manner of discharging it? That's religion. There's not a shadow of right in the general government to intermeddle with religion. The subject is for the honor of America, perfectly free and unshackled. The government has no jurisdiction over religion. Free exercise. Joseph's story, I'm about done here. Joseph's story said the real object of the First Amendment was not to countenance, much less advance Mohammedism or Judaism or infidelity by prostrating Christians, but to exclude all rivalry among Christian sects. Samuel Chase, who was appointed to the Supreme Court, says, by our form of government, the Christian religion is the established religion, and all sects and denominations of Christians are placed upon the same equal footing and are equally entitled to protection in their religious liberty. Boom! What happened? Hugo Black rewrote the First Amendment. Gave power to the federal government didn't have. 1947, and may I say this? Since 1947, it has been one slippery slide down hell, because every moral restraint that was put on the people, the courts have said, no, separation between the churches. You can kill a baby. Why can you kill a baby? Well, separation between morality and state. A man can marry a man. Why can't a man marry a man? Because there's a separation between the church and state. Who are we to tell people? We created the government by ordination of Almighty God, and the states would have directed. And we let the feds come in and grab it. Tell where you guy can't even say a prayer before a football game. Hang on, not done. Jared, what is humanism? Click on that, Jared. Because that's the religion, boys. Nothing there? Was it your fault or mine? Nothing there. What is humanism? Well, I'm going to tell you this. Humanism is the religion of America. The religion of public schools. Here it is. Humanism. Am I going too fast here, guys? I'm trying to get a lot of stuff in. Humanism. This is humanism. Humanism is an approach to life based on reason and our common humanity, recognizing that moral values are properly founded on human nature and experience alone. While atheism is merely the absence of belief, humanism is a positive attitude to the world centered on human experience. No God, man is in charge of doing all. Scroll on down. Humanists believe that human experience and rational thinking provide the only source of both knowledge and moral code to live by. In other words, those cupcakes out in the streets think what they think is right is right. They, humans, are establishing right and wrong. They think they have the capability to do that. There's no standard. And you walk into your public school, and we wonder why the thing's a mess. There is no common standard. There's no cultural standard on which any of this stuff is based. There's no foundation. There's no, not only is it sinking sand, there ain't even sand. That morality now becomes whatever you think it is. And humanism says you have the right to, you have the right to call yourself a woman. You have a right to do that. You have a right to murder a baby. You have a right to do that. Why? Because there is no overarching standard by which we're all going to live on, except tolerance and diversity and those things. Go on down, Jared. Humanism is a democratic and ethical life stance, which affirms that human beings have the right and responsibility to give meaning and shape to their own lives. See, you get to make your own decision about what's right and wrong. It stands for the building of a more humane society through an ethic based on human and other natural values in the spirit of reason and free inquiry through human capabilities. It is not theistic and does not accept supernatural views of reality. Oh, man. It's what humanists believe. There's no supernatural beings. The material universe is the only thing that exists. Science proves the only real. See, science is their doctrine. Except when they don't like it, then they change science. Science proves the only reliable source of knowledge about this universe. We only live this life once. There's no afterlife, no such thing as reincarnation. Human beings can live ethical and fulfilling lives without religious beliefs. Human beings derive their moral code from the lessons of history, personal experience, and thought. By the way, guys, is that your public school right there? Is that your public school? Did you know that humanism has been defined by the Supreme Court of the United States as a religion? Humanism is a religion. Why? Instead of belief. Humanism. And why are we teaching this in our schools? Because Hugo Black told us that there was a separation between the church and state. We couldn't do it. Jared, let's go. What do humanists say, Jared? Let's go there real quick. Hey, Weaver, it's something, isn't it? Isn't this something? And so you walk in the courtroom where there's no standard of right and wrong. You know, not allowed to bring in morality, not allowed to talk about any of that stuff. Oh, I already did that one. Jared, I messed you up. I'm sorry. Let me open it up. Somebody jump in here. I'll find something. Of course, yeah.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
In the courtroom, if you try to bring up a morality issue, whether it be domestic, they tell you that doesn't count. That is not relevant. a gal can go shack up with three guys. The guy can be a hard worker, and you can't bring up her carelessness and her actions, and that should bear some weight. Now, victimhood is pretty big in the courtroom. Victimhood is pretty big.
Amen. So, Roger, you would have to admit it's very hard as a Christian to operate in that justice system.
It is. It is.
Because you have an unchanging standard, and you're dealing with a system that there is no standard.
Well, and I agree, the system is bad. The system has difficulties, but clients sitting in my conference room confessing a faith, the vast majority of them, including the lawyer who's sitting across from me, that's me,
yeah.
The vast majority of them have an understanding of God's word that is unique and different.
I'd say that's putting it nicely. Hey, Jared, pull up the one that just says Federer. It says Federer in big print. That's the one I was looking for. Federer.
In 1782, United States Congress passes for Bibles to be printed and to be taught in our public schools.
Guess it wasn't a separation back then, huh, Dale? Must not have been a separation. Bill Federer wrote a book called The Original 13, and here's the highlights of it, okay? Jared, make that a little bit bigger, please. The Original 13, a documented history of religion in the American states. Jared, slide that over a little bit. Oh, I got to get rid of these guys over here. The chat room's in the way. I can't hardly see to read it. I don't even know how to get rid of it. The whole power, make it a little smaller, Jared, please. The whole power over the subject of religion is left exclusively to the state government to be acted upon according to their sense of justice and the state constitution, wrote Supreme Court Justice Joseph Story in 1833. Who was Joseph Story? Well, he was the founder of Harvard Law School and appointed to the Supreme Court by James Madison, the same James Madison who introduced the First Amendment in the first session of Congress. To understand the progression of religious freedom in America, it's necessary to review the constitutions of the original 13 colonies. Here they are. Virginia, 1606, the propagating of Christian religion to such people as yet live in darkness. Delaware, further propagation of the Holy Gospel. Massachusetts, every denomination of Christians shall be equally under the protection of law, and no subordination of any one sect of denomination to another shall ever be established. Pennsylvania, all men have natural and indefeasible right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of their own conscience. North Carolina, benevolent provision for the poor, the unfortunate, and the orphan is one of the first duties of a civilized and Christian state. Examining Christian charters, constitutions, court decisions, correspondence, the overall view of history is intended as a study to help those interested in discovering the role religion played in America's original 13 colonies. The federal courts used the 14th Amendment to remove religion from state's jurisdiction, most notably in the 1947 Everson versus the Board of Education case, and subsequently devolved it into its present interpretation. This subject also addressed in another book that he has. We've been lied to, boys. We've been lied to. Help me wrap it up. I didn't, believe it or not, I didn't plan on doing the whole show on this.
Hey, Coach, just something quick. You struck a chord talking about the lawyers having a pretty fixed standard, whereas morality is no longer there in the cases. And what's worse is how evil would you have to be to write these laws back then and look at it from someone with absolutely no morality? I mean, they didn't think of people with no morality having to interpret this. So now, right. Not only do folks like Roger have a standard, but they're also being challenged by the interpretation, the evil interpretation of that standard. You know, and that's what's just... It's like this whole thing that you've done today, Dave. It's like there isn't a separation of church and state. It's a separation of denominations of one religion. I mean, holy smokes, that changes everything.
Changes everything, right? And so we look at, we now have, hey, guys, who would best fit in with the founders? Barack Obama. Mitch McConnell or Judge Moore? Which would most fit in with founders? And every time Judge Moore raises our religious heritage and organic law, every time he raises that, separation of church and states comes screaming out as if our entire moral system wasn't based on Christianity. Folks, if it's based on Islam, where you can do a clitorectomy on your daughter, where women are forced to wear burqas, if you're allowed to do honor killings under Sharia law, how can Sharia law ever be compatible with our constitutional protections of Christian liberty, the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness?
It can't.
Those two are in conflict. And if we don't wake up and let everybody understand we were established, like it or not, as a Christian nation, with denominations being in charge of the states. And until we return to that, you watch, Dearborn's going to be taken over by the Islamic Caliphate, and Michigan is not far from becoming an Islamic state. You think I'm crazy? And you know what they're going to do? Then they're going to go and say, hey, listen, religion's up to the states. It's up to the states, the Muslims are going to say. And we want to establish this as a Muslim state. Say, Coach, you're crazy. I wish I was.
They already call it Dearbornistan.
They're already calling it that. England's gone. London, England's gone. You know what? So's America. Because you can stand around your public school. You can go anywhere you want to. And people can't explain to you who they're even thankful for.
Well, we're thankful
for. Right? We're thankful for. Well, we know what we're thankful for, but we're not, we don't know where those gifts emanate from where they come. Boy, I only got a minute left. Sarge's got something up there. Hey, yeah. Everybody, here's your homework. Here's your homework for the weekend. Search out your church or your state charter. Just search out the constitution of your state. And you're going to find Almighty God right in the middle of the state. And so the separation between the church and the state was a state issue and nothing to do with the Fed. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when we first practice to deceive. Man, have a great weekend. Happy anniversary to Coach and his wife, 38 years. I loved her more than the day I met her. And that's a lot because I fell in love with her right away. She's the greatest blessing God's ever given to me in the promulgation of our views. That word three times. I just learned that this week. The opportunity to advance the Christian faith through my grandchildren is the greatest opportunity that the Lord has ever given me. I look forward to years ahead when we do that, when we put that value system, when I get that little value system inside that little girl. It's indoctrination, and it's a good thing. God bless you. We'll see you on Monday.